Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the skies are full of cumulus clouds, and as we suffer the pangs of global warming, it has been a moderate summer in Atlanta, where it is almost always insufferably hot at this time of the year. Now, that's neither here nor there, because that's not our topic for today. We have too many things that are just more important and that are substantial in the political horizon. I'm proud to announce that for the first time, the national debt under Barack Obama in slightly over 5.5 years is now $7 trillion, $60 million. That's just him. That's more, by the way, of a debt increase under all presidents from Washington through Bill Clinton combined. And it's more than the accumulated debt in the first 227 years of this nation's existence, from 1776 through 2003. That's a lot of debt. $7 trillion under Obama alone, and we are now $17.5 trillion in debt, and yet what do people want to talk about? Trivialities and little more. Richard, how are you today? I see that you're on the line.
Well, I'm fine. I just realized that I probably have been contributing to the prison dollars every single day of my life.
And say that again, please.
I said, I figure I am contributing to that $7 trillion every single day.
Oh, yeah. Are we ever? 5.5 years. That's well over $1 trillion of debt a year that he's accumulated for us from funds that we don't have. And he wants to bring these people in that we can't afford. They will never not be a financial burden, and somehow, oh, the poor children. When in the world are we going to wake up and say, we can't afford it?
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. And as we're talking about this stuff, we got several things I want to talk about. I was thinking about when the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, the day which will live in infamy. Now, that is a phrase, the day which will live in infamy. It's one of the core sound bites, if you will, in American history, like ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, or 47 years ago. So, you know, once small for man, one great step for mankind, I have a dream. All of those things are core to who we are. Now, on December 8th, and any time afterwards, was there any press that said, we should practice restraint. We shouldn't you know, the poor Japanese are misunderstood. They have a right to this and that. They need to, you know, we need to hear what they have to say. We need to listen to them. Did any of that happen?
I sure hope not.
It didn't. We became resolved to destroy them, and we did.
We even went as far as to lock up the American Japanese and make sure that they weren't loyal to the old yarn themselves.
To the emperor, they were collaborationists. And, you know, and of course, civil libertarians would say that that was not a good thing to do. And I get that. I mean, I can see that. We certainly didn't lock up Italians, and we were at war with them. We didn't lock up Germans, and we were at war with them. But we did lock up the Japanese. Now, and they said, well, that's got to be racist because, you know, you can tell Japanese because they, you know, because their eyes are slanted. And, you know, at the same time, we were in close harmony with the Filipinos and with the nationalist Chinese who were fighting the Japanese at the same time. All of that, you know, kind of beside the point to what I want to make right now, though. Here's the point that I'm thinking. All right, Hamas has been launching rockets into Israel, 3,000 of them. Now, what's the difference between them doing that and the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor and the Air Force Base? What's the difference? Is there any?
Well,
I'd say no.
No, I don't either, other than, what do they call that, the iron net that America has literally given them, and I guess there's quite a few of them there that actually stop a lot of these rockets, but that's beside the point. I mean, would World War II have been different with Japan if we knew they were coming and we were ready for them? I don't think so.
No, I mean, World War II was set, and, you know, once that happened, we were attacked, and our defense of our nation was legitimate, and no one questioned it. Now, Hamas has been bombing Israel, plus they knew about this Iron Dome, so they've been digging tunnels into Israel for one purpose, so that they could surprise and have people out there with guns and bombs to inflict major casualties upon the civilian population of Israel. And that was the whole thing. We'll dig under. There's, you know, the Iron Dome is ineffective for something underground. So they've been digging all of these tunnels. So their intentions have been clearly belligerent. And yet, the entire world, including our Secretary of State, John Kerry, and our President, Barack Hussein Obama, have been against Israel for just defending themselves. Now, the Israelis defend themselves pretty well, and they have obliterated everything that they've needed to so far inside of the Gaza Strip. Now, the Gaza Strip is really a small place, very densely populated. But it's, I mean, it'd be kind of like downtown Boston. The downtown part of it itself. there are quite a few people there. In some ways, it's really reminiscent of Athens, Greece, more than anything, because there aren't tall buildings, but it's very densely populated. Now, the leaders of the Gaza Strip, Hamas, have used the Palestinian population that elected them, fools that they are. Although I'll have to say, as foolish as we have been in electing Barack Obama twice, the Palestinians have even been more foolish in electing Hamas. We aren't being decimated by a foreign power physically right now. We're not at war in the United States.
He's just selling us out.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is
mutually.
What can we say about the UN and the United States, all of Western Europe, and the Arab nations, all against Israel? Now, I think secretly, the Saudis are probably not nearly as upset with Israel as people might think, because they don't want Hamas to prevail, because they don't want to see Iran become so as strong. Plus, Egypt has been pretty neutral about all of this, and Egypt is a major player because they've got a contiguous border with Israel. But on the same hand, they have just had to deal with Hamas themselves. Hamas has been, and the Muslim Brotherhood, have been outlawed, if I'm not mistaken, in Egypt. They like that they've had a peaceful situation with Israel for the past 30 years. It's been to Egypt's best interest. Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin and even Jimmy Carter was significant in that. His one true and legitimate accomplishment. Good for you, Mr. President. Now, we have a Nobel Peace Prize winner as president. He should know what to do. I mean, if you win the Nobel Peace Prize, you should be pretty good at international politics, wouldn't you think? Isn't that what it's all about? Sure seems like it to me. Richard, let me ask you a question. Can you name anything that Barack Obama has done that would warrant a Nobel Peace Prize? What accomplishment in the world has he done that would warrant it? Can you think of anything?
Well, when he goes on these extended vacations, things seem to quiet down for a while, because he hasn't really caused. I think he's due on Martha's Vineyard. It's Monday for 2 weeks of golf and the like, so that should probably quiet things down for a while too.
Well, it would be nice if that was the case. The United States has been the major player in the world since World War II. Two-thirds of a century, a little bit more. With the dissolution of the Soviet Union, we were the only major international power. But now we have been essentially in full retreat while he's racking up these huge deficits and dismantling the military. Now, when Bush came to office, our debt was about $6 trillion. By the time he left, it was 10. So he added substantially to the debt. Why did he do it? Where did it go? It was to make the military stronger and to fight two wars, which, you know, I think you can justifiably ask, should we have had, you know, wars like that in the first place? It seems like we've been there a long time and haven't done much good. What do you think?
Well, the fact that look what's going on in Iraq and how many Americans died over there. That was talk about futile. And now it's worse now than it was before we went in. At least back then, what was the dictator's name? I mean, he was against the things like ISIS and the like, and now all of a sudden he's gone, and they're taking over.
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
I think that you could say the same thing for Muammar Gaddafi. Now, Gaddafi was a big sword rattler and, shot down the plane over Lockerbie. Was responsible for that. And Reagan sent planes in and, you know, strafed his palace, killing a couple of his kids. Once that happened, Gaddafi stopped all of his sword rattling, and we were much better off with a Libya that had Gaddafi than we are with what we have now. And as soon as Obama got in office, he undermined Gaddafi, got rid of him. We've got to get rid of him. And, you know, and championed the Arab Spring that brought in the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And all of it has fallen apart. Egypt is not nearly as stable, nor is Libya. There's a civil war in Syria. All of our efforts in Iraq seem to have gone for naught. And it's just as bad in Afghanistan. Add to that Israel is now having to fight against Hamas in the Gaza Strip, which Israel gave back in 2005 so that they could have peace. That ended up not being a very smart idea, didn't it?
Well, it didn't work out now, has it?
Just one thing after the other. All right. We've talked about international politics, I think, long enough. We've got a couple of things domestically. One, this doctor that they flew in from Liberia, who worked for Samaritan's Purse, he landed at Dobbins Air Force Base. That's maybe 6 miles from where I live. They drove him in a Grady ambulance to Emory, and to get from Dobbins to Emory, they had to come within a mile of where I am right now. And they brought Ebola into the United States. What do you think?
Well, I think that the United States is probably a lot more equipped to handle this. And I've been listening to a lot of conversation back and forth on this. And, I mean, they did this, you know, very, very well-equipped to handle it, especially at Emory. They have a whole section of that hospital dedicated to this containment, as the case may be. But I heard a little while ago that a guy walked into a New York hospital with a very high fever, and he had just come back from West Africa. So, I mean, we did it the right way with the doctor and the nurse, but now there's other people that could be coming back to this country that haven't. But listening to this doctor from the CDC talking, saying, you know, it may have a 60% mortality rate, but the people... 60% of the people that have contracted it have died. Now, of that, he's saying the majority of these people have not had the nutritional wherewithal to be able to have their body fight it. And that's why a lot of these people have been dying. He said, actually, if there was an outbreak in the United States, that it would be not like the measles, but not nearly as deadly because of just the way our society is, and that we are better equipped to be able to physically fight it. So, and now, did you hear too that the doctor, when he was in Africa, they had come up with a trial vaccine that they had been giving to monkeys, either monkeys or mice, I don't remember what. And he took that, and within hours, he was dramatically better. His fever had broken, and I think maybe even know that he physically walked into Emory. And
yeah,
even today, we're saying he has shown dramatic improvement. And I think the other part of it, too, was he had cured a little boy over there and had some of the little boy's blood transfused into him, which I think is also helping him because the little boy had ended up, you know, having an immune system that was fighting it. So I think there's some good things going on, but the world is a much smaller place now. So the United States, yeah, we'd like to think that we can isolate ourselves, but we can't. I mean, you know, people travel all over the world now, and this could be anywhere. That guy that was in from Minnesota that died from it, but he died over there. But he was due to come back here. He would have come back with it. So, I don't know. I think it was the right thing. These two people went over there to help. I think it was our country's right to bring them back and get them well.
You know, I agree with you. They were both medical missionaries and, you know, working for, you know, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. Up there in Boone, North Carolina, that's where the home office of it is, and I've been there many times. I agree with you. Now, as far as their ability to take care of this stuff, I think that because this is so highly publicized, they will. Let me just say, on the other hand, the CDC had a problem a couple of months ago with not taking care of Verizon. And one other thing.
Another problem with anthrax, too.
That's it. Anthrax and Verizon. Those things, I mean, it's just kind of like, oh, you know.
And smallpox.
Yeah. You know, they might as well have had George Costanza be in charge of the place.
Or at least Kramer.
You know, it just wasn't, that isn't something that, you know, speaks very well. And yet at the same time, you know, with something like this, I agree. I think that, we did the right thing, and that these people are going to live because of it. And these are the things that make you proud to be an American. Now,
well, but they, you know, they said if there could be one place in the world that these people should go in order to get well, it was Emory Hospital, because they have built a unit specifically made to take care of incidents like this, and that's where they are, and that's where they should be.
Just by the way, the money to build units like that all comes from Coca-Cola. Now, I mean, you know, I went for my PhD program at Emory, and, you know, and it was, they had just received then, and this was 30 years ago, $100 million gift from Coke. So, you know, that would be now about $700 million, frankly. But this is kind of an interesting thing that Coca-Cola, which is the world's drink, and much maligned now, has done some pretty good things, you know, to benefit our nation and our world. So I like that about us. Now,
I think when you say you almost got your doctorate, you should say you almost got your doctorate financially from Coca-Cola. Don't say Coke, because it sounds like you're a drug lord.
I stand corrected. From Coca-Cola, I got a stipend, and all of my expenses, you know, for that PhD program paid for by Coca-Cola. So I never drink Pepsi. Of course, I don't ever drink Coke anyway. But, you know, if I ever do, I always drink a Coca-Cola, because I'm a loyal man. All right. Now, the Senate races are getting even better as far as we're concerned. And we need to tell people that a vote for a Democrat is a vote for Harry Reid and his ability to keep the corruption of Barack Obama and Eric Holder going. They're fleecing the American people. Their cronyism is wrong. Their targeting of conservatives by the IRS, by the EPA, the spying on senators by the CIA, the VA scandals, all of it is because of the obstruction of Harry Reid, and he will not do anything to investigate. So the first vote that everybody makes in a new Congress is who will be the leader. That's the most important vote by far, and anybody that would vote for Harry Reid should be disqualified. That is the message that we are going to hammer home every week until this election's done. Now, this is going to do it for today. We have about 30 seconds left. So, you know, we can at least say thank you to the Boston Red Sox for last year, because they made it a memorable summer. It is not a memorable summer this year. And our other team that we love to root for, the Braves, have lost 6 in a row. So what can we say? We're looking forward to football, because baseball.
It's Thursday night against Washington. Football's back. The hell with baseball.
I agree. All right, Richard, thank you. And let me just say good night. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. Good night.